Shame, no disgrace.
Exactly.
The military mind. Fascinating. Ah.
What's the matter?
I believe we're about to experience a visitation of our own. Won't you come in, Colonel? It's a little unfriendly to converse across the room, though I understand you're accustomed to somewhat greater distances. I am Sherlock Holmes. You might recall my associate, Dr. Watson.
I know who you are. What has my son been telling you?
Father...
Be silent, sir. You've no idea what you're dealing with. Mr. Holmes, has my son actually engaged you professionally?
He's inquired after my services. I've given him no answer, as yet.
Excellent. Then we can consider the matter closed.
I think not.
I beg your pardon.
Lieutenant, I'll give you my decision in the morning.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes.
I'm not accustomed to being treated in this manner.
And now, good day to you both. Watson.
Yes, this way, please, gentlemen.
Dr. Watson, Mr. Holmes. Father, are you coming?
Colonel? Very well. Mr. Holmes, this affair has implications beyond your understanding. I suggest that you keep your meddling nose out of matters which do not concern you. Good day.
Well, well, well.
You were insufferably rude.
Yes, it's a useful technique sometimes. Well, what do you think?
Well, he's not mad. Just gullible.
And you've made up your mind on the case.
But, Holmes, the dead don't return in order to offer financial advice.
Perhaps not. We'll see.
Yes, sir?
It's all right, Rose. I'll deal with this.
Of course, sir.
Can I help you?
Mr. Besmer, is it?
Maybe. Who wants to know?
Collins, Jonathan Collins. Perhaps I have the wrong house.
Well, that depends, Mr. Collins.
Well, I was told that you can put me in touch with someone.
Who told you?
A client. I work at one of the city banks. Perhaps if I give you my card?
Thank you.
Small establishment, but select. Perhaps you've heard of us.
I have indeed. Please, come inside.
My wife is a wonderful woman, Mr. Collins. A wonderful woman who's been blessed with a wonderful gift.
Well, so I've been given to understand, yes.
Who is it you have in spirit?
Beg pardon?
Who is it who's passed through the veil? Your own wife, perhaps? A parent?
Oh, I see. It's my sister, sir. Beatrice, taken from me by illness.
Oh, it must have been a terrible blow.
Unendurable, Mr. Besmer. I wasn't present at the passing, you see. She called out for me, but I wasn't there.
Oh, distressing.
She wanted to say something to me.
A message?
Well, I can only suppose so, but I wasn't there. He's eating me up, Mr. Besmer. What was the message? What could it have been? I have to know. Can you help me? Tell me you can help me.
We can help you.
Huh?
This is my wife.
Have no more fear, Mr. Collins. You've come to the right place.
Well, what happened then?
It was all disappointingly down to earth. For a trifling donation of 40 guineas.
How much?
I'm invited to the next seance. 8 for 8:30.
The medium is secured. We can begin. If you'll take your places.
Yes, of course.
There were 6 of us altogether, not including the Besmers.
Was the Colonel there?
Oh, yes.
Did he recognize you?
Please, Watson.
Oh, sorry.
Now, as you all know, we have 2 new members of the Circle with us tonight.
Yes.
Mr. Collins here has recently lost his sister to the spirit world.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. You're very kind.
And Mrs. Fryer grieves for her daughter.
Jane. Janie.
No, you mustn't grieve, Margaret. She's not taken from you. She's just moved on. That's all. You'll see.
Yes. Thank you, Colonel. Thank you all.
They come, as you all have come, in search of the great truth.
Amen.
Mr. Collins, Mrs. Fryer, friends, if you'll put your hands flat on the table.
Like this?
Yes, yes, that's the way. Now, we all grasp the hands of the people next to us.
The circle of power.
Oh, yes, of course.
Holmes, this is the purest poppycock.
Is it?
Well, of course it is.
Now, for the benefit of our new friends, I must explain that even though she's isolated behind the curtain, Mrs. Besmer is under our supervision at all times. The least movement will be felt in the control ropes tied to her wrists. Colonel, you have yours.
I have.
Mrs. Cole?
As safe as the Bank of England.
Very good, very good. Now, if we can all compose ourselves.
all sat there with our hands touching. Mrs. Bessemer was out of sight, tied up behind her curtain. Then Bessemer reached out behind him and turned out the lamp. It was pitch black. Oh, my dear Lord.
It's all right, Mr. Collins. The power is upon her.
Mrs. Bessemer!
Don't be alarmed. This is perfectly natural.
Mummy? Mummy? Mummy?
Oh, dear God.
Mummy?
Jane? Janie, darling, is it really you?
Of course it's me, Mummy. Janie, sugar cane.
Oh, I used to call her that.
It's all right, it's all right.
Talk to her, Mrs. Fry.
Oh, yes. Janie, darling, are you all right?
Of course I am.
Oh, thank God.
Amen.
I have to go now, Mummy.
Oh, no, you mustn't. Stay here with me.
I can't, Mummy. They won't let me.
What? Who won't let you? What do you mean?
I try to come again, Mummy. If they'll let me, come every week. Come every week.
No. Something touched my face. What?
It was her spirit departing from the circle. You're very privileged to have felt it.
You're so lucky.
Let's compose ourselves, friends. I feel there's more to come.
Good evening, James.
Ah, my dear.
I have something for you.
What do you mean, Elizabeth? Something for me?
There's too much doubt in the world, James. Too many people have closed their minds to the truth.
People who should know better?
Yes. The power is strong tonight. Your belief makes it strong. Believe, James.
I do believe.
I bring you something for those with no faith. I bring you proof.
Elizabeth?
Don't break the circle. Stay where you are, all of you.
Oh, my God, look!
Dear God, heaven protect us.
Keep calm. Keep perfectly calm.
There was something in the center of the table. Something darker than the darkness. A shape.
Holmes, what are you saying?
It moved. It was growing. Stretching.
A trick?
It changed. It became a form.
Nobody move. It won't harm us.
No. No, she won't.
Oh, now, come on.
It was a figure, kneeling in the center of the table. There was something in her hand. She laid it in front of the colonel. And then she was gone.
I'm going to put the light on.
Mrs. Bessemer, is she all right?
My dear. Wait.
What happened?
This happened.
What's it?
What is that?
It's what she promised me. My proof. It's my wife's wedding ring. She was buried wearing it.
Well, Doctor?
What kind of human being robs a grave for profit?
You're convinced it was some sort of trick, then?
Of course it was a trick. You were in total darkness. They could have done more or less anything. Were there any other manifestations?
No, that was the grand finale.
Oh, Mr. Collins' sister didn't show up then?
No.
Oh, they hadn't had time to dig up enough details to make it convincing.
Yes, the same thought occurred to me.
Oh, so you're not completely on their side. Here.
Thank you. I'm not on any side, not yet.
I'm pleased to hear it. So, what will you tell the Colonel's son? Will you accept the case?
Oh, didn't I mention that? I already have. I'm going out. Don't wait up. Very well. Now,
Wasn't that just a touch drastic, burgling their house?
I didn't burgle it. I didn't get inside.
No, only because you were nearly caught by the police.
Oh, give me some credit, Watson. I'm more than a match for a tired constable with a nagging wife and lumbago. Besides, he wasn't the reason.
Then what was?
The reinforced glass, the triple locks on the windows, and the case-hardened bolts on the back door. How Mr. and Mrs. Bessemer value their security. What are they protecting, do you suppose? Their lives?
Or their secrets? There's been a development.
So something happened while I was out?
A message.
From our client?
From his father.
Oh, another warning for me to back off.
Actually, the message was for me.
Oh.
Yes, the Colonel wants to see me. Tomorrow.
Gentlemen.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Your health, Colonel?
Frankly, Doctor, I'm sick and tired of hearing about my health. The Berkshires.
The Berkshires.
Thank you for coming. I wasn't too sure that you would.
Why did you want to see me, Colonel?
To ask you a question.
What question?
Do you believe that I'm mad?
No, I don't.
Then you think I'm deluded?
I think you may have fallen victim to some very clever tricksters.
But you've not actually made up your mind on the subject.
Well...
Good man. Now, listen, Watson. I have a proposition for you.
Splendid.
No, you think so?
Well, don't you? It means I don't have to risk the disguise again. You'll be there as a legitimate invited guest. Couldn't be better. What's your objection?
Well, suppose the Bessemers know who I am.
Well, I'm sure they will. John H. Watson, the famous crime writer.
And biographer of a certain celebrated detective. If I walk into
their
house...
Why should they make the connection? You said the Colonel hasn't told them that I'm involved.
No, but even so...
You'll simply be there as a friend of one of the regulars and a possible convert. So why should they be suspicious?
I still don't like it.
Alerting the Bessemers isn't what's worrying you, is it? What's really wrong?
Well, you've already said it. The Colonel's invited me because he thinks I'll be convinced. He wants me to sing their praises in the Strand magazine.
And you can't see that happening?
Well, of course I can't. If I go, it'll be a betrayal of trust. I can't justify it.
I've been making some inquiries of my own. A little discreet investigation into the other sitters.
Oh, what were you looking for?
Oh, discharged servants, garrulous neighbours, relatives, given to gossip, any possible source for the Bessemer's private knowledge.
And?
And I found nothing. I need more inside information. Watson?
Open your hearts. Open your hearts and open your minds, and they will appear.
John. John. Can you hear me? John.
My God.
John, aren't you there? Speak to me, please.
Who is it?
Oh, John, have you forgotten me so soon? It's Mary. It's your wife.
The Bessemers are crooks. I want them stopped.
You have proof.
In all the years we've worked together...
Now tell me what's happened.
They presented me with Mary. They had the damnable gall to conjure up my wife like some tenth-rate music hall act.
You saw?
I saw nothing. I heard a lot of platitudes about love and faithfulness and heaven, and I felt... Well, never mind what I felt. And don't you dare ask me if it could have been real. I swear to you, on everything I hold dear, my Mary was not in that room. You believe me?
I believe you. Beyond your first name and your wife's, were there any other private details?
No, none.
Nothing they couldn't have discovered for themselves, then. Your names, even the very fact that you had a wife who died young, it's all a matter of public record.
Yes, but what about the other sitters? I heard things no one else could possibly have known. They all said it. It's their main reason for believing. So the Bessemers must be getting private information from somewhere.
There is another possibility.
There is.
Think about the atmosphere, the build-up, the expectation, the darkness, the tension. You must have felt it.
Oh, yes, I did.
And think about the others, the look in their eyes, the hunger, the need for reassurance.
You're saying they're more than halfway convinced, even before the seance starts?
And so they read more into the messages than is actually there, exactly.
Yes, that makes sense. It would help with the voices, too. They want them to be real.
And the result is instant faith.
Instant riches, too, at 40 guineas a time. But I still don't know...
What's troubling you?
The ring. How did they do the ring?
Ah, yes. The ring.
Here we are, gentlemen. The Warburton Vault. It's been in the family for more than 10 generations.
And the late Elizabeth Warburton is buried.
And has been these 13 years.
How many people have a key to these gates?
Only the family.
So it wouldn't be possible to go inside the vault?
I'm afraid it's out of the question.
Ah.
I'm sorry your journey's been wasted.
Oh, my dear Sexton, it's been nothing of the sort. Neither the ground nor the locks have been disturbed in a very long time. Capital.
The ring was a fake, then. A duplicate.
Evidently.
That must have involved a lot of work. Discovering the style, having it made, making sure it looked old and worn.
Our friends are thorough. Ah, I think we've arrived. Time for us to divide our forces.
If you come to see my son, Mr. Holmes, you should have sent word first. It would have saved you a journey.
The lieutenant is not here, Colonel.
He's at a regimental dinner in London.
Well, perhaps you'd be interested to hear of my progress.
I would not. What my son chooses to do is his affair. I'll have no part in it. Since I know that the Besmers are genuine, why should I be interested in your futile attempts to prove otherwise?
Why, indeed. Good day to you, Colonel.
Mr. Holmes.
Colonel?
Some truths are the better for not being dragged into the cold light of day. I ask you to remember that.
Colonel. What did you see when you walk around the gardens? Describe the house.
Well, only the central part is occupied. The rest seemed to be empty. Wasn't in too good a state, actually.
Mm. Any signs of repair work?
No, none at all. Not recently. What about indoors?
The same. Fascinating, don't you think? The servants were interesting, too.
Oh, you spoke to them?
I counted them. Tell Mrs. Hudson you'll be dining alone tonight. I have work to do. Ah, Watson.
Oh, you missed an excellent dinner.
Look at this.
Oh, what is it?
A copy of the Colonel's will. His first will before the recent changes in favour of the Besmers.
Hmm. How did you get hold of this?
Well, it was simple enough to find out the name of the Colonel's solicitor. I went round to his office where
at this time of night? Holmes.
Where I discovered him working late. He was delighted to see me, happy to reminisce about the time I saved one of his clients from the gallows, and only too pleased to do me a small favour in return.
Oh, sorry.
You know, you can be far too suspicious sometimes. I didn't need these at all.
No.
Now, read that.
Let me see. Well, it's unusual, but is it significant?
I think it's extremely significant.
You do? Why?
Get your hat. I'll explain on the way. Good evening, Lieutenant Warburton. My apologies for interrupting your dinner.
Oh, good Lord, man, never mind that. What have you found out?
I believe I can prove to the Colonel that he's being deceived.
You believe? Is your proof good enough to convince him or not?
That's hard to say. His conviction is very deep-seated. It's based on something far stronger than simply the facts.
But then that's exactly what you're counting on, isn't it?
What?
You don't want me to disabuse your father. You never wanted it. That's not why you engaged me.
What are you talking about?
You had to be seen to be taking action.
How would it have looked to the regiment if you just stood by and let your father give away his entire estate?
Are you making some sort of accusation?
It would have looked suspicious in the extreme. And so you came to me and engaged me to uncover the very fraud that you yourself were perpetrating.
Oh, this is outrageous.
The Colonel's house was the vital clue.
The house? What about the house?
Your father's will.
His old will was quite specific. You were to inherit...
How the devil do you know what was in my father's will?
Knowing things is my business. You were to inherit the house and the land on condition that you never sell them.
Of course I wouldn't sell them. That house has been in our family for generations.
Yeah, now it's all but derelict. It would take a fortune to restore it, leaving you with nothing. You could say goodbye to your high life.
You're saying I cooked up this whole business just to get rid of the house?
You fed private information to the Bessemers. You supplied the duplicate wedding ring. You did everything in your power to make the seance as convincing.
I've never set eyes on the Bessemers.
What was your arrangement with them? Hmm? What was your cut going to be when they sold the estate? What price did you put on betraying your father?
By God, sir! All right, that's enough. I've listened to you, now you can listen to me. There's not one single shred of truth in anything you've said. The thought that I would do that to my father. I have more cause to be grateful to my father than you can ever know. If you don't believe me, then let's go now. Right now to these Bessemers and see if they'll recognize me. And while we're there, I'll beat the truth out of them. Oh, I should have done that from the start. Well, are we going?
No. It isn't necessary. Lieutenant, you have my profound apologies.
What the devil was that all about?
I was wrong.
Well, I realize that much. But what's changed your mind?
Weren't you listening to him?
Well, of course I was. Oh, but you must have heard more than I did. What was it?
It's not important. The question now is, what do we do next?
Do we have to start all over again?
Of course not. I've solved the case.
You have?
Well, to be strictly accurate, Lieutenant Warburton solved it for me. But what now? Watson.
Oh, I know that tone. You need my help, but you're not sure if I'll go along with it.
Am I really that transparent?
Only to me. What is it? Another burglary?
I'm afraid it's something rather more upsetting.
You want me to go to another one of those damned seances?
That's part of it.
Part of it. Are you sure this time?
Quite sure.
You can definitely put a stop to the Bessemers?
Yes, I can.
Right. What do you need me to do?
Are you comfortable, my dear?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Now, if we could take our seats.
Yes, this is very good of you, Mr. Bessemer.
The Colonel is one of our greatest champions. Any friend of his?
The other night, when Mary came through, it was just overwhelming.
Same for me, first time.
But with all those others there, strangers. I mean, I just couldn't... You understand?
Oh, there's no need to explain, Doctor. It's an intensely personal experience. We understand completely.
That's really very good of you.
You're quite sure you want me here, Watson. I'd be perfectly happy to go, wait outside or whatever.
Oh, no, 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 Colonel, no, no. You're used to all this, I'm not. I'd be grateful if you stay.
Now, gentlemen, you have the rope securely.
Perfectly.
Doctor?
Yes.
And you're quite satisfied with the restraints?
I'd have been perfectly content to forego all this,
oh,
Mr. Bessemer.
No. That would never do. You must be sure that whatever happens, my wife is not directly responsible. Now, if you're both ready.
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 Excellent. Then I'll turn out the lamp. And if we link our free hands, then the circle is complete. Free your minds, open your hearts, and the spirits will come. They will come.
John. John. Are you there?
Answer her, Doctor.
Call her to you.
John.
Mary?
Oh, John. It's so good to talk to you. I've missed you so much.
Oh, Mary. Is it really you?
Oh, it is, it is. Oh, my dearest love.
It seems... so fantastic.
Always believe, John. It's your belief that makes it possible. You do believe.
I want to. I want to so much.
I can help you believe.
How?
The power is strong tonight. Your faith can make it stronger.
What's going to happen?
Don't question it, Watson. Just do as she asks.
All right. I will.
Compose your mind. Empty your heart of all doubt and pain. Call to her.
Mary. Mary. What happened? Someone touched my shoulder. I felt it.
Don't break the circle. Can you still feel our hands?
Yes. Oh, my God, it happened again.
She's trying to materialize. Are you still holding the ropes?
Yes, yes. And again.
John, stay calm. Believe. Believe.
I believe.
Release your hands, my love. Come to me.
Where?
Beside you. Here. Can you feel my touch?
Yes. Yes.
Then hold me. Hold me as you used to.
Yes.
Now kiss me, John. Kiss me, my love.
I don't think so, thank you.
What? Now what's going on?
Everyone stay calm.
Let me free.
Including you, please, madam.
You're breaking my arm.
No, I'm not, but you'll break it yourself if you don't stop struggling.
All right. All right.
That's better. I've got her, Holmes.
You underestimate yourself, Doctor. What you've got is all three of them. That's better. Magnesium flares have their uses, but they're hard on the eyes.
You're trespassing. You broke in like a common thief.
I'll be sure to mention it to the police when they arrive. Well, well, quite a haul. Two confidence tricksters and their accomplice.
If this is your idea of a joke, sir...
There's no point in pretending, Colonel. I know too much.
So, this whole evening was just a charade.
Colonel, I'm sorry. It was the only way.
You've made a big mistake, the pair of you. You're finished, Warburton. Now it'll all come out, your sordid little secret.
We'll ruin you and your worthless son.
I don't think so.
No!
Give me the gun, Colonel.
Keep your distance, Holmes.
Colonel!
You too, Doctor. And you can spare me the pitying look. They were vermin. If you know everything, you know that.
I never said I knew everything.
Then, be good enough to tell me exactly what you do know.
I know that the Besmers were no more in touch with the next world than I am. And I know how they made your messages and your ring so impressively accurate. Their knowledge came from an impeccable source. You.
Go on.
We also suspect that you've been feeding the Besmers information on your various friends... before you persuaded them to come to the seances.
And that you gave a helping hand in the dark by releasing your control on the medium. Are we right?
Quite right. And do you know why?
Because the Besmers were blackmailing you.
I never realized what a relief it would be to have it known. I almost feel I should thank you.
Somehow, they discovered the secret you've worked for so long to keep hidden. The secret you've spent a fortune to conceal.
You really do know everything, then?
No. We know that this secret concerns your son. Beyond that, we know nothing.
My son... It was a foolish indiscretion many years ago. He's repented it ever since.
And you've successfully kept it from the eyes and the ears of the world.
Not just the world, Mr. Holmes. The regiment. Michael has a glorious career in front of him. If the news had become known, he would have been finished. And the regiment itself, it would have been tainted.
And the Besmers threatened you with exactly that?
In return for their silence, I had to go along with their preposterous lies. I had to convince friends, valued friends... of the wonder of it all. And, to my lasting shame, I had to profane the memory of my wife for the sake of their play-acting.
Eventually, you ran out of friends to introduce. The Besmers saw your usefulness coming to an end.
And they demanded my very home, a final payment.
And you gave it, at the cost of your own reputation.
What was that to me? Do you have a son, Mr. Holmes?
No.
Well, perhaps if you had, you would understand. Look at this scene. Not exactly the glory of the battlefield, Hey, Watson. No, Colonel. No. Damaging to the regiment.
I'm afraid so.
Unless, of course, it was the work of a lunatic.
Colonel?
Someone not responsible for his actions. Then the only blame would be on him. Don't you agree?
Colonel, we know perfectly well that you're in your right mind.
I take the liberty of disagreeing with you, sir. And I venture that this will prove me correct. For the Berkshires and for my son!
Was it difficult?
What?
Convincing the police that the colonel was insane.
Scotland Yard brain runs on predictable tracks. No gentleman in his right mind would kill twice and then put a pistol to his own head in front of witnesses. Therefore, he was not in his right mind, exactly as your colonel intended.
Do you suppose he planned to shoot them anyway, even if we hadn't exposed the whole thing?
Why else would he have taken the gun? They'd driven him to his limit.
Will it have to come out? The blackmail, the family secret?
I don't see why it should.
Thank you.
Some truths are the better for not being dragged into the cold light of day.
Who said that?
A good man of my acquaintance.
Will you tell me something?
What?
Well, two things, actually. How did she get out of those ropes and chains?
It's a question of accumulated slack.
Accumulated slack.
The longer the rope, the easier to slip it off. The chain's the same. Actually, the hardest thing is stopping it falling off before you're ready.
You almost sound as though you're speaking from experience.
What's the second thing?
What was it Michael Warburton said that put you onto the solution?
Oh, that. I have more cause to be grateful to my father than you can ever know.
And that gave you the whole story?
Well, let's say it put all the other pieces into place. I considered that the colonel might have been cooperating with the Bessemers, but I dismissed it. Why should he? It never occurred to me that he might have been protecting his son.
Until that moment?
Exactly.
Then it's a good thing that you did provoke him. I doubt he'd have said it otherwise.
It's true enough. Will you tell me something?
Of course, if I can.
Do you understand?
I'm sorry?
Perhaps if you had a son, you would understand. Do you?
Don't you?
Not yet. Good night, Watson.
Good night.
In The Madness of Colonel Warburton, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. John Watson by Andrew Sachs. Colonel Warburton was played by Timothy West, Mrs. Bessemer by Eleanor Bronn, Mr. Bessemer by Struan Roger, Michael Warburton by Jamie Newell, Sir Robert by David Bannerman, and Mrs. Fryer by Claire Corbett. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Madness of Colonel Warburton was written by Bert Cools, from a reference in the short story The Engineer's Thumb by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. The director was Patrick Rayner.
Learn now, my sons, the tale of the coming of the Hound of the Baskervilles. In the time of the Great Rebellion of 1641, the manor of Baskerville in the county of Devonshire was held by Hugo of that name, a most wild, profane, and godless man.
Quiet!
one Michaelmas, this Hugo stole down upon a local farm and carried off a young maiden to Baskerville Hall.
I think it's found its voice. Well, decided to thank me, have you?
Bastard! Bastard! Bastard!
You little bitch! And I'll be back for you later. Once you've learned some respect for your betters.
In the stress of her fear, the maiden did that which might have daunted the bravest of men. She climbed down from the window of the chamber and ran homeward through the black night across the great Dart Moor. When Sir Hugo discovered the cage empty and the bird escaped, he became as one that hath a devil.
Release the hound!
No! You'll never catch her in this.
May the hounds of hell take me if I can't. My horse!
The revelers stood agape, but at length some sense came to their crazed minds, and the whole of them, 13 in number, started in pursuit. The men came at length to a broad space ringed round with great stones set there in days of old. In the center lay the unhappy maid, dead of fear and fatigue. Not an arm's length away, still and silent, lay the body of Sir Hugo. The men stayed their horses, frozen deep in terror at the unspeakable sight before them. But it was not the mortal remains which raised the hair upon their heads.
The Hound of the Baskervilles by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, with Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson, Judy Dench as Mrs. Hudson and Donald Sinden as Sir Charles Baskerville. Episode 1, The Powers of Evil.
To James Mortimer, M.R.C.S.
Member of the Royal College of Surgeons.
I do know what it means, Holmes.
Of course you do.
He's a doctor...
Brilliant, Watson.
...of the old school.
Ah.
Who has a country practice and does most of his visiting on foot.
Because?
This is exactly the sort of old-fashioned walking stick that a successful elderly man would own. And it's only 5 years old. But look at the state it's in. It could never have got so knocked about in town.
Perfectly sound.
Now, this inscription. To James Mortimer, M.R.C.S. from his friends of the CCH, September 1884. CCH. I'd say that's the something or other hunt, the local hunt. So, an elderly doctor, but still active, with a practice in the country and an interest in outdoor sports.
Watson, you may not be luminous, but you're an excellent conductor of light.
Oh, what on earth is that supposed to mean?
May I have the stick?
You're saying that my mistakes point you towards the truth. Very kind of you. Here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Interesting. Though,
Elementary.
Elementary.
There stood a foul thing. A great black beast it was, shaped like a hound, yet larger than any hound that ever mortal eye has rested upon. Its body glowed with a flickering glare, and the flames of hell burst from its open mouth.
Well, go on then, dazzle me.
Hmm. Well, the man's certainly a country doctor, and he walks a good deal.
And I was right.
Yes, to that extent, but I'm afraid your grave old family practitioner vanishes into thin air.
Oh?
Yes, no doubt about it. The gentleman we missed last night's a young fellow, under 30, amiable, unambitious, absent-minded, and the possessor of a favourite dog, larger than a terrier and smaller than a mastiff.
Even as they looked, the thing tore the throat out of Hugo Baskerville. Then it turned its blazing eyes and dripping jaws upon them. One man died that night of what he had seen, and the rest were but broken men for the rest of their days. Such is the tale of the coming of that demon, which has plagued this family so sorely ever since. For know, my sons, that many of our line have been unhappy in their ends, which have been most sudden, bloody, and mysterious, and heralded always by the appearance of the hound. Fear then this spirit, and seek not to hear its cry, for it summons a man of Hugo's blood to his death.
A dog.
No doubt about it. You can just see the teeth marks where he sometimes carries the stick behind his master.
Well, what about all the rest? Amiable?
Yes, friends. He was given a testimonial.
Unambitious?
He prefers the countryside to the capital.
Absent-minded?
Oh, think, Watson. He left us his stick.
But not his visiting card. Oh, all right, I'll grant you the absent-minded.
But not the rest. Whatever happened to good heavens, Holmes, that's amazing.
Oh, please. You're confusing me with that chap in the Strand magazine.
You find this amusing, Doctor?
Well, it does seem somewhat fanciful. Sir Charles, why are you reading me this?
This tale has been passed down from father to son for generations. Do you think we'd have done that if we didn't take it seriously?
Forgive me, I didn't mean to be rude.
No, you're young. You think you know everything. Well, you don't, sir. You don't. Have you heard what the local people are saying?
You surely don't believe such nonsense.
Then you have heard.
I have, and I pay it no heed. And neither should you.
You're a newcomer, Doctor. But my family have lived on the moor for centuries. I know the place. I know the people. And if they're saying it, then it's true. The hound has returned.
You've got it! Oh, I had no idea where I'd left it. I'm so very glad. I wouldn't lose that stick for the world.
A gift, I see.
Yes.
From Charing Cross Hospital.
Well, yes.
Much more likely than a hunt for a presentation to a doctor.
Pure luck.
And given to you when you left the hospital to go into practice on your own.
That's absolutely correct.
Hmm. No one long established would make such a move, therefore under 30. Hmm? Simplicity itself. But enough of our little games. Sit down, Dr. Mortimer, and tell us why you've forsaken your clean air and your healthy walks to consult a specialist in crime.
The trap will be round in a moment, Sir Charles.
Thank you, Barrymore.
Gentlemen.
Sir Charles, this nervous depression is a symptom of your condition, nothing more.
Believe that, if it makes you more comfortable, Doctor.
It's your comfort I'm concerned with, sir.
Nothing can be done for me now.
That's unscientific nonsense.
Look out there, my friend. The moor is not just hills and lakes and trees and rocks. It's alive. It's a living being. It was there before man, and it'll still be there when we are gone and forgotten. It has moods and desires and secrets that your science can only guess at.
Sir Charles...
It's out there now, Mortimer. Waiting. Waiting for me.
this manuscript...
Early 18th century, unless it's a forgery.
The exact date is 1742. Ah. It's a statement of an old family legend.
Come to consult me about a legend?
No, sir. I've come on a very modern, practical matter. But this manuscript is intimately connected with it, and so, with your permission, I'll read it to you.
If you must.
All right, all right! Perkins, what's wrong?
Oh, Doctor, Mr. Barrymore says, can you come straight away?
Barrymore? What's happened? For God's sake, man, why have you sent for me?
Is Master all right, Mr. Barrymore?
Get on with your duties. This way, Doctor.
Barrymore, wait! Where are we going?
The old yew alley that leads out onto the moor.
Fear then this spirit, and seek not to hear its cry, for it summons a man of Hugo's blood to his death. Therefore take heed, and remember always this. Forbear from crossing the moor in those dark hours, when the powers of evil are exalted.
Well?
Do you find it interesting?
To a collector of fairy tales.
Then I'll offer you something more recent. This is from the Devon County Chronicle. On the night of the 4th of June, Sir Charles went out to take a walk in the yew alley behind Baskerville Hall. He did not return.
Doctor! Here!
All right, Mrs. Barrymore. Try to stay calm.
Oh, yes. Oh, thank God you've come.
That's enough, Eliza.
What happened?
I found him here, Doctor. Sent for you straight away.
Did you examine him?
Didn't need to.
Hold my bag. Rest in peace, my friend.
Watson.
Thank you.
That article contains all the public facts.
And pray, let me have the private ones.
Barrymore, give me a hand to turn him over.
Doctor.
His face. The features were hideously distorted, almost unrecognizable.
But you testified to the coroner that he had a weak heart and a history of dyspnea. I would have expected a certain amount of muscular contraction.
Not like this. You didn't see it, nor the way he was lying. Face down, arms out, fingers dug into the ground.
And there were no marks on the body?
None.
All this was said at the inquest.
But this wasn't. I withheld this information.
Indeed.
Sir Charles was a great local benefactor. It's vital that his heir should take up residence and continue the good work. So I told rather less than I knew.
Go on.
While Barrymore was arranging for the body to be taken in, I had a chance to look around. The night had been wet, and I could easily follow Sir Charles's footsteps. Halfway down the alley, there's a gate that leads out onto the open moor. He had stopped there for some 5 or 10 minutes.
How do you know?
Because the ash had dropped several times from his cigar.
Very good.
When he moved on, there was a curious change in his footprints. He appeared to be walking on tiptoe.
On his toes?
My God.
Doctor? Is everything all right?
Yes, yes. I'll be there in a moment. Dear God.
Were there any marks on the ground near the body?
Yes. Yes, there were. Some little distance off. Still fresh and clear.
Footprints?
Footprints.
A man's or a woman's?
Mr. Holmes, they were the footprints of a gigantic hound.
You saw this?
As clearly as I see you.
Are there any sheepdogs on the moor?
This was no sheepdog. It was enormous.
Had it approached the body?
No.
Was the gate to the moor closed?
And padlocked.
How high is it?
About 4 feet.
What marks did you see by the gate?
None in particular.
Well, you should have called me in at the time. I'd read the whole story in that path.
Perhaps.
What do you mean?
Well...
You're surely not telling us his death was supernatural.
For some weeks, people had been seeing a creature on the moor. They all agreed that it was huge and glowing, exactly like the hellhound of the legend.
Well, if you believe that, then why have you come to consult me at all? You asked me to investigate Sir Charles's death and then tell me he was killed by a ghost?
I haven't asked you to investigate Sir Charles's death.
Then why did you come here?
Because I need your advice. Sir Henry Baskerville arrives from America in exactly an hour and a quarter.
Is he the heir?
The sole heir. The last of the line. And whether you believe it or not, I think he may be in deadly danger. Mr. Holmes, what should I do?
When the night wind howls in the chimney cowls and black dogs bay at the moor. Then is the ghost I know.
Dr. Watson?
Good evening, Mrs. Hudson.
May I have a word with you, please?
Oh, dear. What's he done now?
Oh, it's the usual thing. It's the smell, Doctor. It gets everywhere. Wouldn't be so bad if he'd only open a window. It can't be good for him.
All right, Mrs. Hudson. I'll deal with it. Oh, Mrs. Hudson, the gentleman who called today will be coming back tomorrow morning and bringing Sir Henry Baskerville with him. 10 o'clock.
Well, I hope they're both fit and well. They'll need to be.
I'll see what I can do. Holmes? Good Lord.
You caught a cold, Watson?
A cold? It's this poisonous atmosphere. What the devil is it that you put in that pipe?
You've been at your club all day.
Oh, please, Holmes.
Yes, well, I suppose it is pretty thick, now that you come to mention it.
Thick? It's intolerable. Mrs. Hudson is about to throw us out.
Really?
Really. Couldn't you have let in some air?
A concentrated atmosphere helps me to concentrate. Isn't that interesting?
Fascinating.
Perhaps I should take it to his logical conclusion and get into a box to think.
An excellent idea. I'll order you one in the morning.
Thank you, thank you. Now, have you quite finished trying to reform me, Doctor?
Yes, for the present.
Well, come and have a look at this.
Dartmoor?
Yes, I sent out for it. There.
Baskerville Hall. It's very isolated.
Apart from the prison. Yeah. It's only inside 5 miles, but a couple of farms and a few houses. The excellent Devon County Chronicle provides a useful list of the local residents. Here, I mark them for you.
Arthur Franklin, retired.
Laughter Hall.
Jonathan Stapleton, the noted naturalist.
And his sister. They're at Merripit House.
And Mortimer himself?
There.
Must be a wild and lonely place.
Yes, yes, the setting's a worthy one. If the devil did decide to meddle in the affairs of men...
Oh, surely you're not going over to the supernaturalists, too.
The devil's agents can be flesh and blood.
Do you think Mortimer will do as you asked and not mention this hound nonsense to Sir Henry?
I believe so. He seems extremely anxious to establish the young man in Devonshire.
You think that's suspicious?
Have you given it any thought?
Yes.
What do you make of it?
The footprints. Mortimer said that Sir Charles walked on tiptoe half the length of the alley.
Now, why should the man tiptoe?
He was running.
He was running. He was running for his life.
Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Good morning.
And Dr. John H. Watson. I'm very glad to meet you, sir.
Sir Henry?
Sir Henry. I don't think I'm ever going to get used to that. I've enjoyed your stories no end, Doctor.
Oh, very kind of you.
Oh, I mean it. And you know, it's a funny thing. If Mortimer here hadn't brought me round to you this morning, I might well have come on my own. I've got a little puzzle for you, Mr. Holmes.
Indeed.
Sir Henry's had a rather disturbing letter.
Oh, I wouldn't call it disturbing. It's just some kind of damn fool prank.
May I see it?
Sure.
Thank you. Sir Henry Baskerville, Northumberland Hotel, posted in Charing Cross yesterday evening. Who knew you were staying at the Northumberland?
No one. That's the puzzle.
Fascinating. Watson?
As you value your life or your reason, keep away from the moor. Words cut out of a newspaper. And anonymous, of course. Here.
Thank you. I think we can draw a few conclusions about the sender.
We can?
He's an educated man who wanted to hide his intelligence. He's almost certainly staying in a cheap hotel, but possibly not alone. And, of course, you know him, Sir Henry, or soon will.
Dr. Watson doesn't exaggerate your powers, Mr. Holmes.
Oh, you'll find that paper and envelope in 100 low-grade hotels. The message was put together hurriedly and clumsily. He was afraid of being interrupted, so he didn't have a room to himself. The address is scrawled in capitals, but the message uses words cut from the Times, not a paper you'll find in the hands of the illiterate.
But how can you say that Sir Henry knows the man?
Why else disguise his writing? Hello, what's this?
What?
Nothing. Sir Henry, has anything else happened to you since you arrived in London?
Why, no.
Have you noticed anyone following you or watching you?
I seem to have walked right into a dime novel. Look, I want to know what's going on here. Mortimer won't tell me a damned thing.
He was acting on my advice.
Well, I'm tired of everyone knowing more about my affairs than I do.
Then I suggest that the two of you return to the Northumberland and go over the whole business. Watson and I will join you for lunch, and you can give us your reactions. What do you say?
They're stopping again.
No one else is. I was certain... Oh, fool!
What?
I've been looking for someone treading them on foot. You see that cab?
Which cab?
There they go. The one just starting off again. That's our man.
I can't see inside. Can we get closer?
Of course we can. He won't be looking behind him. Look, come on. Wait.
What is it?
He's seen us. Oh, damn!
Drive on! Up there!
What made him look this way? Damn and blast the man. Did you see his face?
Dark glasses and a black beard.
That was probably false. Oh, damn.
It was just bad luck.
Oh, bad management, more like. Of all the blundering fools.
What a pity we didn't get the number of the cab.
Do you seriously imagine I neglected that? Number 2704.
And we can speak to the cabbie.
We've got something. Blundering fool.
Please, Sir Henry.
Don't you Sir Henry me, man. Just what kind of a place are you running here?
If you would just step into my office...
Oh, I'm not stepping anywhere. I want my property back and quickly, too.
Of course, Sir Henry. I'll see to it personally.
Oh, you damn well better.
Personally. Johnston, come here.
Having some bother, Sir Henry?
Oh, hello, Doctor.
We, couldn't help overhearing, I'm afraid.
I guess the whole place heard me. Mr. Holmes.
Something's been stolen?
Lost, more like. Just one of my boots.
You've lost a boot?
Well, brand new, too. Never been worn. It cost me $6. It'll turn up. I shouldn't have gotten steamed up about it.
Gentlemen, our table's ready.
Excellent. And after lunch, Watson can entertain us with the adventure of the informative cabbie.
It was the purest luck. We marched into the cab office to ask about 2704, and there the man was, coming off his shift. Roberts, rough-looking sort of chap, Welsh.
And the fellow said, I've driven my cab these 7 years and not a word of complaint. He seemed to think I was trying to have him dismissed.
He changed his tune when we offered him half a sovereign, though.
Well, I've had a good day and no mistake.
And Holmes said, now, my good fellow, tell me all about the fare who followed the two gentlemen down Regent Street this morning.
Well, sir, he told me he was a detective.
A detective?
That's right, sir. And I've heard of him, too. His name was... Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
The cunning rascal.
Are you sure he was following us?
Quite sure.
But why?
We have to assume he means you somehow.